Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A little more than 24 years ago, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed co-ed by the name of Amy Tillman appeared at the door of my freshman dorm room, and the first words she ever said to me were, "Hi, are you Richard?" And of course, no, I'm not Richard, and I know I've shared that story with you before, but till the day that I die, I will never forget the first words that Amy spoke to me. And in the 24 plus years since that day, Amy has spoken many more words to me, and I have spoken many more to her as well. And it's not a thought that I contemplate often, but from time to time, I do think about the fact that Amy and I have made vows to one another until death do we part. And although I hope and pray that day is very long from now, sometimes I wonder which one of us will get the last word. And what will those words be? And who will speak them? Having the last word. Well, that's a big concept in our culture, isn't it? The one who has the privilege of having the last word gets to put something of their stamp on the conversation. Having the last word means that that person gets to be the one that ties everything together and assigns some sort of permanent meaning to all the words that have come before. And that brings us to our text for this morning. Today is the final day of our summer-long series on the book of Psalms. And we've said it every Sunday, I'm going to say it one more time. The book of Psalms is not a book in the classical sense, but it's an anthology. It's a collection, it's an album, if you will, of poems and prayers and hymns that were composed over a very long period of time in biblical history. And then at some point, all of those compositions were brought together into a unified whole that we call the Psalter or the Book of Psalms. And I think that's really important for us to remember, especially today as we come to the final psalm. The Book of Psalms is a collection, which means there was an editorial process to putting it together in its final form. And just like any collection or anthology or art gallery, the editor or curator or editors or curators had to make some decisions. Some decisions about which material to include and which to leave out. And once they had that body of material, they had to make some decisions about the order in which that material would be presented. All summer, we have been preaching our way through the Psalter. If you want to visualize for a moment the Psalms as an art gallery, well, we've been walking through it from beginning to end. We haven't had time to stop and consider all 150 compositions, but we have been moving through this collection. We've paused and reflected on the beauty of the metaphor of Psalm 23 and contemplated the notion that the Lord is our shepherd. We have contemplated darkness as we have wrestled with Psalm 88 in that place of pain and lament and despair. When the psalmist prays and the final word in Psalm 88 is darkness. Last week, we stood before Psalm 137 in its entirety and dealt with the emotion and the pain and the anger and the rage and the cries for revenge that psalm conveys. And so today we come to the final piece in the collection, the final song on the album, if you will, the final psalm. So listen now for a word from God from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as I know I have shared with you before, I am by no means a scholar in biblical languages. As I've shared, I enjoyed the Greek and Hebrew ordination exams so much I took them 3 times. But there is something in the Hebrew of this psalm that I think is worth our attention. So you may have noticed that the psalm in our English translations begins and ends with the same 3-word phrase, praise the Lord. But that 3-word phrase in English is a single word in Hebrew, and it's a Hebrew word you know. And that word is simply this, hallelujah. One translation of the Hebrew word hallelujah is praise the Lord. So the final word then, the last word, both of Psalm 150 and of the entire collection, the entire book of Psalms, the final word is hallelujah. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that was an intentional editorial choice. As we have said all summer, every emotion that we are capable of experiencing as a human being can be found expressed somewhere within the pages of the 150 Psalms in our Bible. You name a feeling and it's there. Love, joy, peace, and hope to be sure, and also pain, anger, despair, envy, rage, and every shade and hue of human emotion between. There are untold words in the Psalms, but the final word, the last word, is hallelujah. The last word is hallelujah. Earlier this week, as I flipped a page on my calendar over from August to September, I noticed some notes I had scribbled on my calendar back in January of this year, and I just smiled and shook my head. Not much about 2020 has gone according to the plan that I laid out in January. And I suspect that the same is also true for you, my friend. I don't know about you, but I have very much grown weary of the phrase, well, this is the new normal. The pandemic and all that it has brought with it has been going on for 6 months now. So I don't think we can rightly call it new anymore, and it is by no means normal. And so if you are struggling these days, my friend, know that you're not the only one. If you're wondering if there's a point to all of this, if there's an end point to all of this, you are not alone. I hope that as you have joined us in reading and praying the Psalms this summer, you have noted that the psalmist is never hesitant to tell God exactly how the psalmist feels. My friend, you do not have to hide or pull any punches before the throne of the God who made you, who redeemed you, who sustains you. But I hope that you will pay attention this day to the last word of the Psalms. The last word is hallelujah. And that, my friend, gives me comfort and hope in these difficult days. Because the Psalms weren't just thrown into a basket at random. And the Psalms are full of words. Some of those words are difficult and hard to hear. But those words aren't the final word. Martin Luther, church reformer, once described the Psalms as the gospel in miniature. And I think what he means by that is, yes, this life can be so very hard, my friend. There is too much pain and suffering and injustice in our world today. But there is an endpoint to all of this. There is an ultimate destination in this journey. This life is leading somewhere. It's leading us to hallelujah. So whatever you are going through right now, the pain and the suffering and the struggle, that's real. But because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you have been claimed by him, it's not your ultimate reality. And I was brought face to face with that earlier this week, a few days ago, when I had the opportunity yet again to lead a memorial service for a saint of the church who has died and joined the church triumphant. It's part of the holy task of ministry, something I've done hundreds of times over the years, but this week, words in that service caught me up short. Every time we have a funeral, or almost every time, as we come to the end of the service, there's a prayer that we say that's in our service book, and it goes like this. We pray, "You only are immortal, O God, the creator and maker of all. We are mortal, formed of the earth, and to earth shall we return. This you ordained when you created us, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to the dust." I have prayed that and said those words hundreds of times in my years of ministry. And those words express reality that we know. But this week I was brought face to face again with another reality, because that prayer doesn't stop there. It continues. It says, all of us go down to the dust, yet even at the grave we make our song, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Someday, and I hope that day is very long from now, my friend, you will breathe your last and die. But because of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because you bear his name, the final word spoken over you won't be pain or despair or suffering or death. Because of Jesus, the final word spoken over you will be hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is so much uncertainty in our world these days, my friends. No one is certain what's going to happen with the virus, with the upcoming elections, with protests and unrest, with financial markets, with school, with sports, with anything. A quick scan of the headlines and social media feeds reveals that there are lots of people who claim to have the final word on these things, but no one is certain. A friend of mine who lives and works at the Montreat Conference Center in the mountains of North Carolina put it well. He said, this season is like trying to drive in the mountains in heavy fog. All we can see is what's right in front of us. Everything else is shrouded. And so, for us, for we who claim the name of Jesus Christ, for we who live out our discipleship in Christ, in this place we call the First Presbyterian Church of Athens, this is a time for us to shine brightly into the fog. It's a time for us to speak with clarity and a conviction that we know that the best and final hope for the world does not depend on who wins or loses on November 3rd, or whether and when a vaccine makes its way to a market, or what happens with the financial markets. This is a time for the church to proclaim with clarity and conviction that the best and final hope for humankind is in Jesus of Nazareth, whom we call the Christ. This is a time for we who make that claim to also back it up with our actions, to be about the work of doing justice, of loving and living with kindness, of walking humbly with our God. My friends, this is not new. I think this is either Sunday 25 or 26 that we've been meeting like this. It's not new. It's not normal. It won't last forever. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know the one who holds tomorrow. We know, we who bear his name, we know how the story ends. We've read the last page in the book. In the end, when all is said and done, love wins. And the last word is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Let us profess our faith with the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Friends, every good gift comes from God. The earth is the Lord's and all that is therein, the world and those who live in it. And so with glad and generous hearts and thanksgiving for what God has done for us, and with a heart that desires to share the love of Christ with Athens and the world, let us give now our tithe and our offerings.
Thank you.
us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks that through your generosity we have these gifts to share. We ask that you would receive these gifts and bless them, turn them loose, that your kingdom may come and your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, friends, we come now to our sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And in our Presbyterian way of being the church, we believe that the Holy Spirit is somehow present in this supper. So wherever you are joining us today, if you need to take a moment and go and gather the elements, traditionally the church has relied on bread and wine, but whatever you have on hand, because the grace is not contained in what you have on hand, those elements point beyond themselves to God's grace that sustains us in this season. So remember, friends, that this is the joyful feast of the people of God, and they will come from north and south and east and west and sit together at table in the kingdom of heaven. And according to the Gospel of Luke, our Lord Jesus, after his death and resurrection, was on the way to a place called Emmaus and met two of his disciples on the road there, but at first his disciples did not recognize him. It was only after Jesus opened the scriptures for them, and only after Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to them, that their eyes were opened and they recognized the presence of their risen Lord. This is not a Presbyterian table. This table does not belong to First Presbyterian Church. This is the Lord's table. Whatever table you are gathered around right now, that is the Lord's table. And Christ our Lord invites all who put their trust in him to come and share in the feast that he has provided for us. For Christ the risen Lord is always host at this meal.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give our thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. O God, you created the world and called it good, and made us in your image to live together in love. You made a covenant with us, and even when we turned from you, you remained ever faithful. And so with all the company of heaven and earth, we praise your holy name, singing. Thank you, O God, for sending your Son. He lived among us and told your story. He healed the sick and welcomed sinners. He shared our pain and died our death, then rose to new life that we might live and all creation be restored. Remembering your boundless love revealed to us in Jesus Christ, we break bread and share the cup, giving ourselves to you to live for him in joy and praise. Great is the mystery of our faith. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us,
and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ, and that we may be his body for the world. By your Spirit, unite us with Christ and one another until we feast with him and with all your saints in your eternal realm of justice and peace. Hear our prayers this day for those who need your guidance and strength, your healing and comfort. Help us all to awaken each day, thankful for our gifts, ready to serve, and with hallelujah on our lips. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Whenever we gather at this table, we remember the story of how Jesus gathered at table with his disciples on the night of his arrest, and how he took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me." We also remember how after the supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do it remembering me." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All is ready.
Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have fed us once again. You have fed us not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from you. But you have fed us by bread and by the cup. And you fill us with your love and your grace. You are with us. And so we ask now that you would be with us as we move into the world, that you would help us be the body of Christ, bringing good news into a hurting world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go out into this world and have courage. Hold on to what is good. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Return no one evil for evil. Honor all people. Remember, God gets the last word, and the final word is hallelujah. So may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.